Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long?
Shalom, and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on living and praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. If this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. Last week we read the prophecy of Zechariah chapters 7 through 14 in the context that Zechariah received this very long prophecy on the fourth day of the ninth month, or the fourth day of Kislev. This year, the 4th of Kislev fell on November 12th, and I shared in last week's program, which I recorded on November 3rd, how that back in February, on a Shabbat morning, I woke up with a message on my mind saying, November 12th, go back 10 days to November 2nd. Exactly like that. I don't usually get dreams, visions, or any of that stuff, but I knew I needed to see what days these were on the biblical calendar. That is when I discovered that the prophecy of Zechariah chapters 7 through 14 was given to Zechariah on the 4th of Kislev, which this year just happened to be my November 12th date, and November 2nd was the 24th of Chesvan, or the 8th month. This, of course, is the day after the 23rd of Chesvan, which in Talmudic times was a Hasmonean holiday that commemorated the day on which the stones of the altar, which were defiled by the Greeks, were removed from the temple. This year, Chesvan 23 just so happened to be November 1st, of course beginning the evening of October 31st, when the snake slithered out of the stones of the Western Wailing Wall at the Kotel in Jerusalem. But the report of this event didn't hit the news until the next day, November 2nd. This is just a little recap of last week's program, which included my reading of the entire prophecy of Zechariah 7 through 14, a significant portion of which deals with the regathering of all Israel in that day. If you missed last week's program, which I had recorded on November 3rd, please go to our website at www.hiswordheals.com and download it and other past programs for free. This week, now that we are past the November 12th date, or the fourth day of the ninth new moon, I want to highlight some of the headlines from that time period, beginning November 2nd through November 12th. Then, looking forward to Hanukkah and what we can learn about a time yet to come from this extra-biblical Jewish commemoration, we will look at the passage in 1 Maccabees chapter 4, which talks about the defiled stones being removed from the temple, and close out this week's program also looking closer at parts of Zechariah's Kislev 4 prophecy in chapters 7 through 14. What happened this year, November 2nd through November 12th? Let's see. On Erev Chesvan 23, a snake slithers out of the Kotel stones. The news reports on this on November 2nd, along with the fact that the mystic Jews see this as a sign, according to Talmudic prophecy, of the coming of Mashiach. I find the timing interesting again in that this was traditionally the same date that the stones which were defiled by the Greeks were removed from the Temple Mount. It was also reported in the news that on November 2nd through 3rd, California was hit by 39 significant quakes within 24 hours. Then also on November 3rd, Fox News reported that microchips are being accepted by and implanted in 4,000 people in Sweden to enable secure electronic buying and selling. November 4th, final phase of the Iranian sanctions started. November 5th, a Trump midterm election ad was rejected by all major news networks, including Fox News. November 6th was the much-disputed and highly controversial U.S. midterm elections. November 7th, Trump's White House post-midterm election press conference was highly chaotic with very rude press behavior. Later that night, going into November 8th, was the mass shooting at a Southern California nightclub in which 13 people, including the shooter, died. This was the second deadly mass shooting within 2 weeks. November 9th, massive deadly California wildfires break out in the same county as the mass shooting barely over a day before, threatening even the very same town with additional massive deadly fires simultaneously burning up entire towns as well in Northern California. These fires are turning out to be the deadliest fires in U.S. history, last I heard, and of course are still burning. November 10th on Shabbat was the 100th anniversary of the Armistice Treaty that ended World War I, with world leaders including Trump meeting in Paris. November 11th, Trump and Putin were scheduled to meet in Paris, but this meeting was postponed until the G20 meeting, November 30th through December 1st, which is the Shabbat before the Monday, the first day of Hanukkah, for which Trump announced that he will be having two Hanukkah parties this year in order to accommodate more guests. Also November 11th, in Gaza, a high-level Palestinian commander and two IDF soldiers were killed, which set off an IDF airstrike in Gaza, and at least 17 rockets fired into Israel. Then, November 12th, the Palestinian rockets increased to at least 80 that day, and November 13th, they were up to 370 or so, while the IDF claims to have also hit around 100 military targets in Gaza before the ceasefire was declared on November 13th. I'm recording this program on November 15th, and fires are still raging in California with the death toll and destruction increasing as well, and Netanyahu's government is also on the verge of collapse, with Avigdor Lieberman, Israel's defense minister, having already resigned. Quite the news that we've had there within those 10 days. Now we'll take a look at 1 Maccabees chapter 4, which contains the passages concerning the removal of the defiled stones from the Temple Mount during the time of the Maccabees, and possibly relates to the same biblical date this year, Chesvan 23, which began the eve of October 31st into November 1st, which again is when the snake slithered out of the stones high above the Kotel in Jerusalem. At the beginning of chapter 4 of 1 Maccabees, Judas Maccabee defeats Lysias' Greek army. So then the next year, Lysias raises another army. When Judas Maccabee realized that he was being attacked by the Greeks, he began praising Yahweh with hymns, and then both sides attacked each other. Judas and his troops were again successful, and then beginning in verse 36 of chapter 4, we read, "Then said Judas and his brothers, Behold, our enemies are crushed. Let us go up to cleanse the sanctuary and dedicate it. So all the army assembled, and they went up to Mount Zion, and they saw the sanctuary desolate, the altar profaned, and the gates burned. In the courts they saw bushes spring up as in a thicket, or as on one of the mountains. They saw also the chambers of the priests in ruins. Then they rent their clothes and mourned with great lamentation and sprinkled themselves with ashes. They fell face down on the ground and sounded the signal on the trumpets and cried out to heaven. Then Judas detailed men to fight against those in the citadel until he had cleansed the sanctuary. He chose blameless priests devoted to the law. And they cleansed the sanctuary and removed the defiled stones to an unclean place. They deliberated what to do about the altar of burnt offering, which had been profaned, and they thought it best to tear it down, lest it bring reproach upon them, for the Gentiles had defiled it. So they tore down the altar, and stored the stones in a convenient place on the temple hill, until there should come a prophet to tell them what to do with them. Then they took unhewn stones, as the law directs, and built a new altar, like the former one. They also rebuilt the sanctuary and the interior of the temple, and consecrated the courts. They made a new holy vessels, and brought the lampstand, the altar of incense, and the table into the temple. Then they burned incense on the altar, and lighted the lamps on the lampstand, and these gave light to the temple. They placed the bread on the table, and hung up the curtains. Thus they finished all the work they had undertaken. Early in the morning on the 25th day of the 9th month, which is the month of Kislev, in the 148th year, they rose and offered sacrifice, as the law directs, on the new altar of burnt offering which they had built. At the very season and on the very day that the Gentiles had profaned it, it was dedicated with songs and harps and lutes and cymbals. All the people fell on their faces and worshipped and blessed heaven, who had prospered them. So they celebrated the dedication of the altar for 8 days and offered burnt offerings with gladness. They offered a sacrifice of deliverance and praise. They decorated the front of the temple with golden crowns and small shields. They restored the gates and the chambers for the priests and furnished them with doors. There was very great gladness among the people, and the reproach of the Gentiles was removed. Then Judas and his brothers and all the assembly of Israel determined that every year at that season the days of dedication of the altar should be observed with gladness and joy for 8 days, beginning with the 25th day of the month of Kislev." Okay, so they're removing the defiled stones from the temple on the 23rd of Chesvan, corresponds with the snake slithering out of the rocks on November 1st of this year, the day before my November 2nd date, which is the date that I saw the news article first come out on the news. Now let's take a closer look at Jeremiah 7 through 14, which corresponds with my November 12th date. I'm just going to read some highlights out of Zechariah chapters 7 through 14 that I believe are very significant and relevant for us today. Chapter 7 starts out telling us when Zechariah received this prophecy. It says, "And in the fourth year of King Darius, it came to be that the word of Yahweh came to Zechariah on the fourth of the ninth new moon, Kislev." So I find it interesting that this prophecy is given on in the fourth year of King Darius. And I know that a lot of people have compared Trump to King Cyrus, who was the first one to declare the rebuilding of the temple. However, what if Trump is more comparable to King Darius? King Darius is actually the one who confirmed and restarted the rebuilding of the temple after the Babylonian captivity. And Trump, when he moved the embassy to Jerusalem, was actually fulfilling a proclamation of someone else that had already been made earlier that the embassy would be moved to Jerusalem, but no one ever did move it. So King Darius did the same thing. King Cyrus had declared that the temple would be rebuilt, and King Darius got the process started again after it had been discontinued. Just keep that in mind for later. In verse 4, Zechariah says, "The word of Yahweh of hosts came to me, saying, Speak to all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, When you fasted and lamented in the fifth and the seventh months all these 70 years, did you truly fast for me? And when you ate and when you drank, was it not for those eating and for those drinking? Are these not the words which Yahweh proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and in safety, and the south and the low country were inhabited? And the word of Yahweh came to Zechariah, saying, Thus said Yahweh of hosts, Execute right ruling, show loving commitment and compassion everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the stranger or the poor, and do not plot evil in your hearts against one another." I think that's very good advice for us today. But they refused to listen, and they shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears from hearing, and they made their hearts like flint against hearing the Torah and the words which Yahweh of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore great wrath came from Yahweh of hosts. Let us not harden our hearts and stop our ears. Then we'll skip down to chapter 8, verse 1. "And the word of Yahweh of hosts came, saying, Thus said Yahweh of hosts, I shall be jealous for Zion with great jealousy, with great wrath I shall be jealous for her. Thus said Yahweh, I shall return to Zion, and I shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called City of Truth, and the mountain of Yahweh of hosts, the set-apart mountain. Thus said Yahweh of hosts, Again old men and old women shall dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age, and the streets of the city shall be filled with boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus said Yahweh of hosts, If it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in my eyes, declares Yahweh of hosts? Thus said Yahweh of hosts, See, I am saving my people from the land of the sunrise and from the land of the sunset, and I shall bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I shall be their Elohim in truth and in righteousness. May it be so, Yahweh. Blessed be your name. Thus said Yahweh of hosts, Let your hands be strong, you who are listening in these days to these words from the mouth of the prophets of the day the foundation was laid for the house of Yahweh of hosts, the Hekel that was to be rebuilt. Are we listening in these days to these words? Let our hands be strong. And skipping down to verse 13, And it shall be, as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I shall save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear, let your hands be strong. For thus said Yahweh of hosts, As I proposed to do evil to you when your fathers provoked me, declares Yahweh of hosts, and I did not relent, so again in these days I have purposed to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Yehuda. Do not fear. These are the words you should do. Speak the truth to one another, judge with truth and right ruling for peace in your gates, and do not plot evil in your hearts against one another, and do not love a false oath. For all these I hate, declares Yahweh. And the word of Yahweh of hosts came to me, saying, Thus said Yahweh of hosts, the fast of the fourth, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth months, are to be joy and gladness, and pleasant appointed times, for the house of Yehuda, and they shall love the truth and peace. Thus said Yahweh of hosts, peoples shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of the one go to another, saying, Let us earnestly go and pray before Yahweh, and seek Yahweh of hosts. I myself am going, and many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek Yahweh of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before Yahweh. Thus said Yahweh of hosts, In those days 10 men from all languages of the nations take hold, yes, they shall take hold of the edge of the garment of a man, a Yehudi, saying, Let us go with you, for we have heard that Elohim is with you. And I believe that Yehudi is Yeshua our Messiah. Let us take hold of his tzitzit. Then skipping down to chapter 9, verse 9, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion! Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem! See, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with deliverance, humble and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And of course we know this was about Yeshua's first coming. And I shall cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations, and his rule is from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. And also, because of the blood of your covenant, I shall send your prisoners out of the waterless pit. At Yeshua's resurrection, he released those that were waiting in Sheol. He came to set the prisoners free. Verse 12. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of the expectation. Even today I declare that I return double to you, for I shall bend Yehuda for me, and I shall fill the bow with Ephraim, and I shall stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and I shall make you like the sword of a mighty man. And Yahweh shall appear for them, and his arrow go forth like lightning, and the master Yahweh sound with the shofar, and he shall go with whirlwinds from the south. Yahweh of hosts shall shield them, and they shall devour and trample on slingstones, and they shall drink, roar as if with wine, and they shall be filled like basins, like the corner of the slaughter place. And Yahweh their Elohim shall save them in that day, as the flock of his people, for the stones of a diadem sparkling over his land. For what goodness is his, and what comeliness is his! Grain make the young men thrive, and new wine the maidens. So let's go back to that verse 14 real quick. As an interesting aside, it says, And Yahweh shall appear for them, and his arrow go forth like lightning, and the master Yahweh sound with the shofar, and he shall go with whirlwinds from the south. Yahweh of hosts shall shield them. I believe that that corresponds both with Matthew 24:27 and Habakkuk 3:11-13. So quickly I'll read those to you. While I'm turning there, I also believe that verse 13 that talks about filling the bow with Ephraim corresponds with the bow, all of the bows, in Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51 that talks about the fall of Babylon. Okay, Matthew 24:27 says, we'll back up to 25. See, I have forewarned you. So, if they say to you, Look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or Look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe. For as lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And what does verse 14 of Zechariah 9 say? And Yahweh shall appear for them, and his arrow shall go forth like lightning, and the master Yahweh sound with the shofar, and he shall go with whirlwinds from the south. So in Matthew 24, the Son of Man comes as lightning comes from the east and shines to the west. And in verse 14, Yahweh's arrow shall go forth like lightning, and the master Yahweh sounds with the shofar. So is the Son of Man the arrow of Yahweh that is going forth like lightning from the east to the west? Now let's look at Habakkuk 3:11-13. Sun, moon shall stand still in their places. Like light your arrows fly. Like lightning is your glittering spear. You step through the earth in rage. You thresh the nations in wrath. You shall go forth to save your people, to save your anointed. You shall smite the head from the house of the wrong, by laying bare from the foundations to the neck, Selah. It sounds to me like the lightning flashing from the east to the west is not going to be a rapture, per se. It's going to be the judgment of Yahweh. So then after this judgment of lightning from the east to the west, chapter 10 of Zechariah says, "Ask Yahweh for rain in the time of latter rain, Yahweh who makes storm clouds, and he gives them showers of rain, the plants in the field, to everyone." So could this be the second outpouring when he comes of the Spirit? "For the household idols spoke emptiness, the diviners saw falsehood, and relate dreams of deceit. They comfort in vain. Therefore they have wandered about like sheep. They are afflicted, for there is no shepherd. My wrath burns against the shepherds, and I lay a charge against the leaders. For Yahweh of hosts shall visit his flock, the house of Yehuda, and make them like his splendid horse in battle. From him comes the cornerstone, and from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, and from him every ruler together, and they shall be like mighty men who trampled down the mud of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight because Yahweh is with them, and the riders on horses shall be put to shame. And I make the house of Yehuda mighty, and save the house of Joseph, and I shall bring them back, because I have compassion on them, and they shall be as though I had not pushed them aside. For I am Yahweh their Elohim, and I answer them. And Ephraim shall be as a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as if with wine, and their children shall see and rejoice, their heart exulting in Yahweh. And I shall whistle for them and gather them, for I shall ransom them, and they shall increase as they once increased. Though I sow them among peoples, they shall remember me in places far away, and they shall live together with their children, and they shall return. Hallelujah! Praise be to Yahweh. I shall bring them back from the land of Mitzrayim, and gather them from Assyria, and bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, until no more room is found for them. And he shall pass through the sea of distress, and strike the waves of the sea, and all the depths of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Mitzrayim be taken away, and I shall make them mighty in Yahweh, so that they walk up and down in his name, declares Yahweh. Skipping to chapter 12, verse 1, and I know we've all heard this one, I just think it bears repeating. The message of the word of Yahweh against Yisrael, Yahweh stretching out the heavens and laying the foundation of the earth and forming the spirit of man within him, declares, "See, I am making Jerusalem a cup of reeling to all the people all around, and also against Yehuda. It is in the siege against Jerusalem, and in that day it shall be that I make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All lifting it are severely injured, and all the nations of the earth shall be gathered against it. In that day, declares Yahweh, I strike every horse with bewilderment, and its rider with madness. And on the house of Yehuda I open my eyes, but every horse of the peoples I strike with blindness. And the leaders of Yehuda shall say in their heart, The inhabitants of Jerusalem are a strength to me, through Yahweh of hosts their Elohim. And in that day I make the leaders of Yehuda like a fire pot among the trees, and like a torch of fire in the sheaves, and they shall consume all the peoples all around, on the right and on the left, and Jerusalem shall dwell again in her own place in Jerusalem, and Yahweh shall save the tents of Yehuda first, so that the comeliness of the house of David and the comeliness of the inhabitants of Jerusalem would not become greater than that of Yehuda. In that day Yahweh shall shield the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David like Elohim, like the messenger of Yahweh before them. And it shall be in that day that I seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I shall pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of favor and prayers, and they shall look on me whom they pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and they shall be in bitterness over him as a bitterness over the firstborn." So I just find it interesting that all of these prophecies are regarding regathering his people back to his kingdom and judgment on the nations. And this prophecy was given during the fourth year of King Darawash. Now I realize we are only in the second year of President Trump. So I also decided to look up anything that happened in the second year of King Darawash, just in case, just because I was curious. Because if President Trump corresponds at all with King Darawash, then this was the second year of President Trump. Could possibly the second year of King Darawash give us any clues about the time that we are currently going through right now and the things that are happening? That's what I'm going to talk about next week. Yah willing. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.
O Yahweh, how great are your works!